Blog Talk Radio.
Our life to this sport. We do thousands of sit-ups in camp. We run hundreds of miles, you know, for the ones that take it serious. And we just dedicate ourselves fully to our craft, man. We watch tape. We you know, we have attitude. We're moving and we go into that fight and to land on the line.
Rope-A-Dope Radio Podcast. I am your host, Chris Carlson. We are live on a Tuesday night per usual. Had a little funky start for some odd reason. It kind of dropped me off when I went to start the show and then it didn't play the intro and blah, 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 blah. But hey, that's okay, right? We're going to be okay. We're going to get through this. So, I am back for another week to talk some boxing with you folks here. And, welcome back to the show. Once again, like I said, with a variety of these shows, I really appreciate everybody that's taking time out during this stuff going on in the world to distract yourself. You know what I mean? And that's what I'm trying to be. I'm trying to be a distraction for everybody and just help you kind of pass the time, basically. So we are going to talk a variety of boxing topics. I will be giving my first quarter review. There is a variety of items we'll touch upon when it comes to that. Obviously, we didn't get to half of March, something like that. Oh man, that just dropped all over the place. Okay, I hope everything's okay. That was just weird. I don't know what the hell just happened. It's kind of doing the same thing it did earlier. Huh. All right, so, I'll give my first quarter review. Sorry, I got a little distracted there. basically, I do this from time to time throughout the year. Sometimes I'll have it as a segment during a slower week or whatever. I do these articles for every quarter. They're basically like progress reports. And as far as boxing, and a lot of it has to do with, you know, in the United States, the platforms. I shouldn't say just U.S., just U.S. platforms, because obviously, you know, DAZN especially, but even ESPN to an extent will have fights overseas. So we'll definitely break down that the first quarter of the year so far. Like I said, I do these prediction blogs, but every once in a while I'll do like a topical blog. And you can go to thegruelingtruth.com right now. And read the thing with a little bit more detail. If you'd like, I did it a couple of weeks ago as far as, you know, like a blog on there, basically an article. So we're going to talk about that. Lomachenko, and I don't know if this is just during the hiatus or whatever, but Lomachenko called out Mayweather the other day. Is he just kind of clout chasing, trying to put his name in the same sentence just like his promoter would, you know what I mean? When he talks about, you know, Lomachenko's better than Ali or whatever, or the best since Ali. We'll look into it, and maybe it has something to do with the Teofimo Lopez fight and why that never got signed. According to Teofimo Lopez, he has a couple of things to say about how negotiations are going. And, of course, it's according to Teofimo, so we'll keep that. You know, you got to keep that in mind when you're talking about this stuff. So we're going to talk about that. The crazy thing to me about the Mayweather thing is that's fine and dandy. And, hey, a talented guy like Loma, I would love for him to get really popular. You know what I mean? But I think the weird thing is when Manny Pacquiao was on Top Rank, Bob Arum made it clear that he wanted that fight. It seemed like he wanted the Lomachenko fight even more than the Crawford fight, to be honest with you. But, you know, back then, he wouldn't go to 140. And remember, he said Pacquiao was just an old man. Why would I want that? And I always kind of scratched my head like, well, I mean, I could think of a variety of reasons why you'd want that. But, you know, it is what it is. We'll get into it. To that with a little bit of detail. And speaking of Mayweather, you know, he was talking, I don't think I touched on this last week, but he was talking about, you know, him wanting to be a trainer. Could Mayweather turn out to be a good to great trainer? There's obviously a variety of stuff that would have to happen, or I guess you could say change, that would have to change. So we'll talk a little bit about that. Errol Spence, like a lot of fighters all across the platforms, this happens to be PBC. Spence had an interview. We'll go over some of those, some of the thoughts he had on that and some of his plans. And, you know, last week we talked about the UFC and the Fight Island and UFC 249 popping off this weekend, or at least it was supposed to. That got shut down. We'll give you some details on, you know, where the UFC Dana White goes from there. And there were some folks, no surprise here, but there were some folks that have followed up, whether, you know, via DM or via text message, you know, saying that I'm, like, shitting on the UFC or whatever. And honestly, I'm bringing up the UFC because it pertains to boxing to an extent, as far as, like I mentioned a couple times now, give you guys and myself some light at the end of that tunnel, you know, as maybe, just maybe we could do this or be one of the, you know, first sports that get back or whatever, just because you don't need as many people. And I mean, even the WWE right now are doing their thing. So I'm not ripping on the UFC, but there are some facts that are right there, and it kind of explains why they're still trying to run business, and a lot of it has to do with their parent company. So that's really all I've been talking about. I haven't been ripping them in particular. I think people are just kind of butthurt with that, but facts are facts. But so we'll get into that a little bit more. Oh, you know what I also wanted to talk about? I wanted to talk about the RZA and Primo. RZA and DJ Premier battled it out, and there's been a couple of these battles. The Swiss Beats and Timberland was the best one, I thought. It's just kind of fun. They just line up. I believe Swiss Beats has kind of got this thing all figured out. I think he's the organizer of this. But it's just kind of fun, like if you're a hip-hop fan, to watch these guys give out their best 20 beats and try to top each other, or maybe somebody will have a song with Method Man or Nas or Biggie or whatever, and they'll come back with their Biggie song. You know, during a time like this, dude, it's live entertainment. You know, they live stream it on Instagram, and usually, you know, you can obviously, as us boxing fans know, you can find it on YouTube, even if it's not live streaming all the time. But I'll give you my scorecard on that. I'm not going to go song for song, you know what I mean, because that's just too long of a process. But it was just, I don't know, it's just a fun thing, to be honest with you, especially, like I said, during a time like this, just to kind of, you know, get your mind off stuff. So I'll give you my scorecard. It was a close-ass frickin', I was about to say fight, but battle, whatever you want to say. It was pretty close, man. It was, I just enjoy them. I really do. And, you know, even like rappers going back and forth with their best songs or stuff. I did hear Ja Rule's going to call out 50 Cent. I don't know if he actually wants to go head-to-head with 50. Well, you got to include mixtapes then, because 50's always been strong in the mixtapes, even if the last few CDs weren't good or whatever. He hasn't put out one in a while. But I just don't know if that's something that they'd want to do, because I don't think 50 wants to go back and forth that way. But who knows? Who knows? Like I said, it's just something to distract your mind, much like this podcast. You know, it's been fun to watch that stuff take place, I got to admit. Anyway, if this is your first, and there's some other items that we'll get to, of course, we'll breeze upon the, of course, the boxing Twitter segment real quick. I got some more, well, you know, added to the current boxing Twitter segment. Rick Glaser just keeps finding his way as a finalist to basically the dumb tweet. You know what I mean? Like, God, he just over and over, this guy just keeps going and going and going. Oh, man, he's talking some stuff right now about Gervonta, and it's just stupid, dude. It's just dumb. But that's him. That's what he has to do, and people follow him. I mean, I can't sit there and go too hard on him, because people do follow him. They follow him. You know, they have him on as guests on their show. So, you know, it is what it is. But anyway, if this is your first time listening to the Rope and Dope Radio podcast, you can find it right here on blogtalkradio.com/ Rope and Dope Radio. It streams live at archives. It's basically the headquarters, right? But you don't have to just go on Blog Talk to download the show or listen to it in the browser. You can find the Rope and Dope Radio podcast on Apple Podcasts, iTunes, that's the same thing. Apple Podcasts, sometimes I get that screwed up. iHeartRadio is what I was trying to say. Player FM, TuneIn, Spreaker, Stitcher. Really across the board. We're also part of the Grueling Truth Sports Podcast Network, which can be found across the board everywhere, including Spotify. If you use your Siri or Alexa through Spotify or TuneIn, you can find the platforms. While you're at it, why don't you head on over to thegruelingtruth.com. That's thegruelingtruth.com. It's boxing, it's football, it's basketball, it's baseball, it's everything in between. They got a great sponsor over there, betnow.eu, with promo code TGT. That's thegruelingtruth.com. And one more thing, if you're thinking about cutting the cord, or you have and you're not quite happy, obviously a lot of people watching a bunch of stuff, whether it's archive, whether it's live, whatever, you know what I mean? You got cable or not, whatever the case is, I got something for you. It's called AT&T. TV Now. It's live streaming cable. It's a 7-day free trial, so you can try it out. There's not going to be an annual contract that ties it down. The plans start as low as $60. I actually just got an email, and I think it's $55 now. Ooh, I'm saving you money as we speak, man. Holy crap. But anyway, you can stream it anywhere. They have the cloud DVR. And for boxing fans, they do have Showtime for $11, just so you know, because obviously, you know, ESPN and ESPN Plus and Fox, FS1, DAZN, those are other things you don't need cable with. But it does have Showtime for $11. And it looked like that they were actually getting more serious with their boxing, if you look at what they had on the schedule. It's AT&T TV Now. However, that's the live streaming cable platform. If your internet is just really slow, because a lot of places still in this country, it's just slow, I totally understand. I used to live by an airport. It was really herky-jerky. There is the AT&T TV platform, so that's just cable TV, and that's in limited areas across the country here in Minneapolis, Minnesota, in New York, parts of Florida, parts of Texas, parts of California, all the way up to the Northwest in Seattle, other places like St. Louis in the Midwest. That's AT&T TV now. Just Google it and put your area code in. You'll see if it's available in your area. Otherwise, AT&T TV Now, like I said, that's live streaming cable. All right. Okay. So, you know, I have a variety of things to talk about. Where should I start? Maybe we should start with the, what should I do here? You know, let's start with the Lomachenko stuff. And, you know, I'm not trying to troll with this stuff. You know what I mean? Don't get me wrong. He's the one who said it. You know what I mean? Not me, okay? He's the one who said it. And like I said, if he fought Mayweather, I'd be happy because it would blow up his name regardless of how, you know, what you think would happen, like, in the fight. I wanted him to fight Pacquiao, and that's kind of the head scratcher there for me on this topic, which is kind of like, well, oh, by the way, I had some DAZN fanboys, and I love DAZN, by the way, but the fanboys, they think I'm lying about that DAZN affiliate program thing. And I'll give you some more. I'll give you the facts over again later in the show. We're not going to go over it now. But, you know, it's just kind of weird. Loma was doing an interview with Top Rank. And I do like how all these platforms are trying their best to, you know, get some content out there. They got to do what they got to do. We talked about it last week, how some people were like, ripping DAZN for not having all this crazy shoulder programming right now. And also, some people even jumped on the bandwagon of they should have had a boxing TV series, you know? And that's cool. I'm not saying they shouldn't ever do that. I'm just saying that who knows how many weeks that would have been. And it's just asking a lot to have a TV, a successful television series based on boxing. It's not like a movie. And to look at that as like a failure, like, you know, I could see them coming out with a boxing TV series and then people ripping on it too. You know what I mean? So it is what it is. Now they do have some somewhat new stuff coming out. Whether it's like Sergio Mora and Chris Mannix, you know, back and forth with each other. So they do have some stuff coming out. I know they have some Spanish and Mexican, I think it's Spanish-speaking programming, shoulder programming coming out. And I believe Jesse Vargas is the host of it. I just read it not long ago today. So that's cool. You know, it just – the shoulder programming in general could improve on DAZN, but to now rip them, because, like, how long is this shoulder programming going to continue? You know what I mean? Like, they can't hype up fights that aren't happening right now. But anyway, back to this, speaking of shoulder programming. Loma was doing an interview, and he said, I would like to fight someone who's undefeated, who has a good history. And I'm assuming, you know, like a good resume. A big name. I want a big name with some history. And I think that guy is Floyd Money Mayweather. That's what he said. He wants Floyd Mayweather. He wants to fight Floyd Mayweather. And like I said, is this just him clout chasing? Does he really mean it per se? You know, I don't know. You know what I mean? I really don't know. But, you know, I'll give him some credit. You know, it's sometimes it's good to put names in the sentence, your name with Mayweather. Like I mentioned at the top of the show, sometimes that's really good. You know what I mean? And hey, if he can get Mayweather out of retirement, I don't know why it'd be with Lomachenko when Pacquiao's sitting there, or a McGregor fight, or a Khabib fight, or whatever. But hey, he's interested in it. I'll give him credit. That's cool. It's not like he's getting younger. I don't think he's aged or anything like that as far as, you know, you could see that his age is kept catching up to him. I think just the 135-pound division is not great for him. But the head-scratcher, like I mentioned, is why didn't you want Pacquiao when you were top rank? And I'm not saying, oh, he ducked him and all that. I'm not saying that. I don't even know if the money was there because, I mean, I think the money was there, but Bob wasn't willing to spend money like that at the time. Because as we remember, you know, Manny Pacquiao, when he left, he was talking, well, Manny wants too much to fight Crawford, and he saved his life. He cared about him so much that he saved him from just a horrible beating. And it was really out of the, you know, it was out of, like, the bottom of his heart. You know, he really cared so much about Pacquiao, but as we know, and I played clip after clip, he wanted that fight. He just couldn't secure it. He's ready to lose money now, but he wasn't then. Maybe that has to do with the zone coming in and the Fox deal and whatnot for PBC. But back to Lomachenko, you know, Pac said he'd be willing to go to 140. I mean, Aram hit us over the head with that a bunch, and you know, they didn't even really want to catch weight. Lomachenko Sr. shut it down. He's like, no, my guy's not a 140. And I understand, especially after, like, that Jorge Linares fight. You know, I can understand he got dropped in that fight, even though he won it and he won by knockout. You know, 135 is not his best weight. I get it. But if you're trying to turn the corner in popularity or you want to fight guys with good history, like he puts it, Manny Pacquiao was right there, dude. And I don't know. I just remember him saying, I don't want to fight an old man, even though, you know, Mayweather's older. So that kind of surprises me a little bit. I don't know if Loma was just, like I said, just trolling a little bit or what it is. But it just scratches my head why he didn't want to go into negotiations. And like I said, I don't know for a fact if the fight would have been made. But we all know Bob, if you kept track of it anyway, Bob wanted it, you know. So, I don't know. It's just kind of funny to be like, why would we fight the old man? That's not going to do anything for us, which obviously it just kind of, it bugged me a little bit. But it was also like the fan of these talented fighters wanting to, not fanboy, but just fan of talented fighters wanting to get as much shine as possible. I mean, the most talented fighters, I want the most eyes on those guys, even though I know that's not how that always works. I know that guys that bring a good two-way scrap and brawl tend to get even hardcore attention just in general. But, yeah, it kind of messed with me a little bit because it's like, dude, you're talking about he's an old man and he's not going to do anything for you. But then now you're calling him Mayweather. And I wonder if he's getting to the point where he's like, you know, I might as well make my money now because it's not like he's got, even if he goes down to 130 and 126, like he said, there's plenty of good fights there, but none of them have a name. I mean, really just Gervonta Davis, Ryan Garcia at 135 have real deal names right now. Teofimo's an up-and-comer. Devin Haney's an up-and-comer. But Gervonta and Ryan Garcia name recognition stand way out right now for all of them. So it's a little strange. Now, how would that fight work out? So he'd be willing to go up past 140 then to fight Mayweather? I mean, hey, like I said, if he did it, it'd be great. I would love it. I'd be the first person to buy the pay-per-view just because I want Loma to blow up because he's an active, top-level, top-three guy, pound for pound. Just like I want Crawford to blow up. Just like, you know, all this stuff. But yeah, I'm just confused. Like, why the fuck didn't you fight Pacquiao then? Or I should say you wanted to and tried to negotiate. And like I said, a lot of that had to do with his dad shutting it down. Maybe in a week or two or in the coming months when we can actually get interviews from, like, Loma's dad or something. Because right now it's really just the fighters that are talking. I mean, there's some management talking to or promoters or whatever. A lot of it's fights, so his dad probably would shut it down. But How would that fight play out? I mean, you do have a really, really rusty Floyd as far as a professional fighter. He hasn't fought a professional fighter since 2015. He fought in 2017. By the time they'd even thinking about fighting, that'd be 3 years right there. I just don't see it happening. Because for Floyd, it's like I mentioned, Khabib, McGregor, Pacquiao, these are all better names. Canelo, whatever. Like, I'm not saying he'd fight Canelo now because of the weights and all that, but I don't really see him coming back. But we have seen Mayweather training a lot lately, training his son, saying he's going to be trainer, and we'll touch upon that. But let's stay in the Lomachenko area. And Teofimo Lopez is a guy that, you know, when I had that segment about the young fighters talking a bunch of trash right now, Devin Haney and Ryan Garcia, and to an extent, Shakur Stevenson. I don't think Virgil Ortiz has been as much that way. But we've also seen that backfire. Teofimo still will talk shit, but he did kind of say he needed to humble himself and figure out a bunch of stuff outside the ring and how he's got to stay focused 100%. Ryan Garcia even said a year and a half ago, some of those fights he didn't take serious. He didn't train 100%. He didn't go into the ring 100%. So you can say whatever you want about Teofimo if he's just talking trash or whatever. But it was kind of weird that that fight didn't actually get signed all the way. And like I mentioned, this is according to Teofimo. This is not both sides here. Okay, this is not one side, the other side, and the real story. This is Teofimo, but there might be some validity to this because of what I just mentioned with the Mayweather, which obviously would be a huge fight. And he, and I say Teofimo, said that Loma is almost like he's trying to cash out or something. He's trying to get $7 or $8 million to fight Teofimo Lopez. That's pretty intense. Most people think that that would be for the undisputed because Teofimo beat a solid champ like Comey, a solid fighter. And then, you know, the rest of the belts, you know, Loma had because the WBC is a franchise. I know the WBC is going to have an interim more than likely. And you know, they gave it to, they emailed it or texted it, however he got it to Devin Haney. So Teofimo literally saying $7 or $8 million, and that's just mind blowing to think he's going to get $8 million on this one. I mean, how many millions has he got for one fight up until this point? And maybe that explains why they were talking about doing it on pay per view. Obviously, Lopez is going to get a good chunk of money, whether that's $1.5 million, $2 million more, I don't know, but $7 or $8 million is just too much because it's not like Teofimo's this big name just yet. And it's not even guaranteed to sell on pay-per-view. Now, I think the branding of Lomo on ESPN has been the best, no doubt, because they put him in front of the most, you know, viewership audience if you add it up overall. And Teofimo, by the way, has been on some of those undercards on those big nights too. So he's rising. But neither of them are known as, like, full-on ticket sellers. Now, I think this would do, especially Madison Square Garden or whatever, I think this would do over $1 million gate and everything like that. This would be Loma's biggest gate, and Teofimo's, obviously. But, you know, to have the Loma branding that they've done to a minor extent, and then to have Teofimo able to talk shit and be that cocky, arrogant American fighter that people love to hate or whatever, maybe they could do some damage on pay-per-view. But $7 or $8 million, if this is true, that's a lot of money. And I tend to think that maybe he is asking for a lot of money, not to duck him, but he's like, screw it, dude, I'm in my 30s. This isn't my weight class that I'm best at. Why not? I see all these other dudes. I see, you know, Mikey making, what was it, $7 or $8 million to fight Vargas? I see all these other dudes, you know, fighting for $5 and $6 and $10 million, getting offered all this money. Screw it. maybe if I hold out for this kind of money, you know, maybe they'll put me on the zone or something. I don't know, you know, so that's kind of weird. But so that could be the fact that it never got finalized and the fact that it was going to be on pay-per-view. Like I said, that does lend a little credibility or some validity to what Teofimo's saying, but also the fact that Loma's calling out Mayweather. Is that him trying to bargain, saying, well, I want more money, no, give me the Mayweather fight, or is that him saying, it's time to cash out, I want to make as much money, screw it, you know? If I fight Mayweather, I'll get the most credit anyway. And I don't know. It just, I really hope he does stay at lightweight, because he can really, I mean, what he can do to his resume and also just his, you know, the lineage. Like, what he can do right now, if he beats Teofimo, if he at some point maybe fights Tank or Devin Haney, or, you know, I understand a lot of Haney thing is, we don't know if that's going to happen, or because of the, you know, same with Brian Garcia, but maybe, just maybe, Teofimo's not just talking shit. Maybe he's right about this. And if that is true, that Loma wants $7 or $8 million, that's a lot, dude. That's a lot. We got to admit that. Just kind of staying in that same ballpark. Oh, what the hell? Oh, okay. Cool. That was weird. I just got this text message. This is basically my chat. What's going on, everybody? Everybody can hear me all right, it looks like. By the way, the dial-in number, I don't think I've ever called it that, but hey, the number to call is 646-381-4990. That's 646-381-4990. Maybe you're running some essential, you know, errands. I would say stuck on the West Coast in traffic, but that's generally not the case right now. Maybe you're going for a run. Take the show with you at 646-381-4990. So yeah, I find it kind of interesting. We'll see where that goes. But as far as Mayweather, I mean, he doesn't really tie into this stuff we're talking about with Teofimo and Loma, besides Lomachenko calling him out. But Mayweather's talking about being a trainer, and I can't remember if I really addressed this the show, last show or the show before, but real quick, you know, I think he could be a good trainer. I want to say it was Ishae Smith. Maybe I'm wrong on that, but wasn't he in a corner? Didn't he have a fight where he actually was in the corner? I'm almost positive. I think it was Ishae Smith fight. And, you know, it seemed like he was a natural, and I say that not trying to be like, oh, he's naturally the best, you know. I'm just saying, like, he did, he picked right up, you know. But it was kind of fun seeing him out there. And like I've said in the past, and maybe last week too, you know, giving pointers to people in the gym, giving his, you know, fighters on his promotional stable or some fighters he's going to sign in the future or his son or whatever, just giving him pointers can go a long way for him. Maybe, like I mentioned, I think before, maybe he does just miss the gym. We see him working out now. Maybe it's just a peace of mind because obviously he's had a, you know, he's had some rough go at it. You know, if you think about it, you know, his daughter's in some trouble for stabbing someone right now. You know, Roger Mayweather passed. Like, it's been a tough go for him, no doubt about it. So, I don't know. Could he make a great trainer or even a good trainer? I think he can make a pretty good trainer. But, obviously, the whole traveling the world all the time, and maybe that's what he's finally getting sick of a little bit, where he could go maybe after one of his, you know, fighters have a big fight, he can go travel the world for a week or two and come back. My point is, if you're going to be a good to great trainer, you know, you can't be just traveling the world and posting stuff on your Instagram. And I'm not saying he can't post stuff on his Instagram if he's a trainer, but you know what I mean? It takes time. Obviously, he knows. So that would be my only thing. Is he just saying this right now because Roger passed and he's just trying to get his mind off a bunch of stuff going on? It could be. And I actually think he could be a good trainer. As two things. As long as, you know, is he going to be a world traveler like he is right now? And I'm not ripping him for being a world traveler. I think it's great. The guy put in a lot of work. It's good to just, you know, relax. But if you're going to be a trainer for fighters, you got to be in the gym every day. And maybe, like I said, maybe he misses it. Maybe that's something he wants to do. Another thing is he's got to know that these guys aren't Floyd Mayweather that he's training. Or, well, he knows it because he knows he's the only Floyd Mayweather, and I'm sure he'd tell us about it. But I'm talking about, you know, like he's got to know that these guys aren't going to be able to do what he can do. Here's an example of what I'm trying to say. And I know this sounds like common sense, but it does catch up to people that are highly successful. So my wrestling coach was a great, great wrestler. Okay. He actually made two Olympic teams. He was at his weight class. He was, I think, voted 3 years in a row the top at his, like, the world. He made the world team. You know what I mean? When I say the Olympics is, in 1980, we pulled out, and I say we, the U.S., pulled out of the Olympics. He was ranked number one at his division in the world, right, out of all the wrestlers, and so he couldn't compete. Then in 1984, a few weeks before, he messed up his ankle really bad, so he couldn't compete. So here's a guy that made the world team, you know, as a world team member, was just a stud wrestler, probably would have had a gold, if not two golds. You never know, obviously. But as a coach, he was just good. He wasn't great because he couldn't relate. Sometimes he'd just look at us and almost like not disgust because he was a nice guy. He would hide it. But some things, once you get to know a person, some things you can't hide. And he just could not tell people. He couldn't deliver the message. He just couldn't. There was coaches that, you know, were better than him that didn't do anything near him or even didn't even sniff an Olympics. You know what I mean? So, and so I'm not saying he was a bad coach because he was a very good coach and he taught me a lot of life lessons just, you know, for sports, just in general that you can, you know, put into your life. And so Floyd just can't, you know, he can't, as long as he's not one of those coaches that is like, why can't they just do this? You know, it's like, dude, you're Floyd Mayweather. You know, nobody can do that. You know what I mean? So, but I think that'd be cool. And also for the fighters he trains or just gives, obviously, like I said, the ones that already have trainers, is he going to be like, well, why don't you train with me? Or is he going to be giving pointers with the other trainer? That type of thing, obviously. But it would definitely hype the fighters, that's for sure, because that's another thing that we'd like to see more of from Mayweather Promotions is actually Mayweather promoting the fights, you know what I mean? Because when he does it, he does a good job, or he can do a good job. Sometimes he over-talks and it becomes about him. But, you know, we saw that with Tyson, too, when he tried to be a promoter. Sometimes the post, you know, event press conference would just be him telling us about his his life and his issues and stuff like that. And that's cool. You got to get that out. But, you know, this is about the fighters too. So I think he could be a good to great trainer. I really think he could. He has so much experience. And, hey, if he's actually serious about this, more power to him. You know, I think it's really great. And like I said, I think it'll kind of, you know, maybe add something to it. Maybe, you know, like his life right now. Some of his life's got to be a little empty. You know, he takes all these pictures. Sometimes he's just, you know, when people get so rich, they just kind of leave the planet for a while. Because, you know, you get to that level. And my point, my case in point is, like an example is, the other day he posted a photo of him in his closet. And it's a huge closet, you know. A lot of people are struggling right now, and he's posting shit about his closet, how big it is, and shit like that. It's kind of like Trump talking about television ratings right now. It's like, dog, we don't care if your ratings are are more than Monday Night Football, and why are you worried about where you rank on Facebook? You know, so, and I'm not ripping Floyd. If I had that amount of money, maybe I'd look at the world differently, and I'd just get on that different level, and we can't all just rip and say that we wouldn't be doing that too, because you don't know until you got, you know, several hundred million. You know what I mean? You can't just, oh, yeah, I wouldn't do that. So anyway, could he be a good trainer? I think he could, and maybe something's missing right now. Because, you know, when he's on the sidelines, so to speak, when he's on, you know, front row, he's into his fighters. When Ishae Smith fights or Javonte fights, when he actually shows up to the fight, he's into it. He's really into it. You can tell he cares. I remember when Ishae won, it was his first titleist under Mayweather promotion. He won that title, and he cried. Floyd cried, you know what I mean? So that would be interesting, and just to keep him around the sport and maybe just focused and kind of have different goals within his gym, and maybe that would have him promoting more. Who knows? You know what I mean? Who knows? On to the UFC stuff last week. I'm not going to go into the stuff I talked about last week about Endeavor and their parent company. The last couple of weeks I've talked about that. If you guys think I'm hating on the UFC for bringing that stuff up, that's cool. I shouldn't say you guys. Some people out there, very minimal, but that's cool. I'm just bringing up facts, dude. And, you know, there's more and more every week, you know, that come out about Endeavor, their parent company, and the cash flow issues and all that. That's just, these are facts. So I'm just reporting the facts. And really, recently, actually, like I said, I just saw two more, you know, articles talking about how they now, as far as they got, their credit rating got downgraded because of Endeavor is relying on UFC for cash flow, but then their William Morris agency, they're not going to make any money right now if the entertainment business, film and music isn't going, because that's how they make their money. So that's why their rating went down, the failed IPO and all that. But I mean, these are, it got, it went down to a CCC plus from a B. That's what a couple more, the Hollywood Reporter's reporting that, and Forbes is also too. So it's not me making this stuff up. Okay. But anyway, it does sound like, well, UFC has a deal, obviously, with ESPN. ESPN's owned by Disney. Disney and ESPN stepped in and said, nah, dude, just stop. We can't have this, you know, to Dana White. And also Feinstein from California, she got in there too. Did the mayor of San Francisco, or the governor, did he get in there too? I can't remember now. But anyway, they basically shut it down because they were going to be on tribal land. And so they thought, it was in Fresno. It's a casino resort there. And the casino had been closed since March 20th. But they shut that down. They said, nah, dude, it's not happening. You know, even though you could have went and done that, but they got a lot of pressure in general. And so they shut it down. And I get it. That's not really surprising to me, you know. But, you know, is the Fight Island still real? Is that a real thing? Some people are saying, nah. You know, some people say, yeah, dude, it's happening. I mean, Dana White himself says, yeah, it's happening. It's definitely happening. And it's going to be ready. And this is about 5 days ago, maybe. 30 days from now, the infrastructure is being built. It's happening. Like, buckle up for it, because the thing's happening. It's a private island. They still haven't talked about, you know, where it would be and all that. But yeah, he says, dude, we're doing it. So get ready for it. Buckle up. Yada yada yada. But yeah, some, I don't know. There is this person on Twitter. Crooklyn MMA, and they got this thread that's kind of interesting. You know, it goes like this. It's amazing. It's a little boxing Twitter segment too. It's amazing It's amazing to me how many still take Dana's word at face value. You know what I mean? Buying and renting an island requires big money, not just for the island, but the venue and all that. And he said, you know, we're not talking about a casino or a hotel, but just the cage and the building for the cage and locker rooms and areas for the judges and blah, 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 a lot of stuff. And then she says, now keep in mind that the UFC just paid $300 million, like we've mentioned, to the a variety of people, and they're struggling financially. So if anything, they'd be trying to cut corners and keep, you know, expenses low. And, you know, before they explore a fight island idea, they were already trying to secure tribal lands to host their events on. They couldn't find any. That was the whole point. I think Florida is open to that as well. But she's basically saying, you know, so why on earth would the UFC actually waste money they really don't have to squander on an island when that palace, the Tachi Palace, the hotel, was willing to do it? And they could actually do it. And they say this person thinks the island was never going to be a reality. Dana and UFC just saw an opportunity to go balls to the walls with a story that would gain traction with the fans. And basically, look how willing I am to go. Look how willing I am to – how far I'm willing to go. But make no mistake about it, none of this is about you. It's not about the fighters. It's about the 38 events they still need to provide in the next 8 months to keep their contractual obligation to ESPN intact. A couple of final thoughts. I'm not glad that it got canceled, blah, 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 blah. So, yeah, they're basically like, dude, like, it was never even going to happen. I don't know. I'm kind of in between. I think, you know, maybe they did go to an island and they've been, you know, haggling back and forth and they're just not able to lease one, or it was too expensive, probably just to buy one, obviously. But I don't know. But we're going to find out in the coming weeks. And, you know, Dana's already like, well, we got a May 9th date figured out, so it's all going to be on the island. And a little bit more follow-up as far as information. Dana White did say that we're going to get these people, fighters, there earlier. And he did make a good point. A lot of people would be like, hey, if you got a full gym there, you know, like, I would rather just travel to the island and be there just to do something else, you know. And hey, why not be on an island and be able to train and focus on my fight? Because not everywhere is there private gyms that people can go in. Even for boxers, there's really not a ton of private gyms, and usually you have to know somebody or be attached to somebody like Top Rank or Al or somebody like that. So it's in flux, is basically what it comes down to. You know, they definitely could have done that. They could have done it on tribal land. There's still, like, several, you know, states that are not locked down. They're not at a stay-home lockdown thing anyway. So, you know, we'll know in the coming weeks. You know, do I want UFC to do it? You know, I want safety to be there first. Obviously, I still don't know the hospital thing. Like, where's the closest hospital? Are you going to have, like, a helicopter on site? Is it close enough to fly in the shore? Are you only 30 miles away from California or Florida? Or I don't know. That's the what ifs, you know. Is this in Hawaii, you know? I don't know. We don't know. So I'm just wondering, like, hospitals. First of all, hospitals have to have enough protective gear, and they have to calm down right now anyway. And the amount of tests. Where are you going to get all these tests? So there's still a lot there, but right now – he said he's ready. I'm ready to go. And I suppose right now it'd be about 25 days. Within 25 days, because he said 30 last week. So within about 25, 30 days, the island's going to be ready. That's what he said. So I don't know, man. I mean, why hasn't he told us where it is? Is he worried about, like, a boxing promoter, like Eddie Hearn, getting in there in the zone or something? I mean, You'd think he'd, I don't know. It just, I really don't know. What else we got here? Oh, Errol Spence did an interview, and he talked about a variety of stuff in the interview. He admitted that, you know, the lifestyle, the money, the profile raise, the I'm a star, I'm the next this, I'm the, you know, just the whole thing kind of got to him. And that's kind of what I'm talking about, these young fighters, some of these fanboys of Ryan Garcia or Devin Haney or Shakur Stevenson or Virgil Ortiz, actually, even. Some of these fanboys get mad at me for saying these young guys are talking all this trash, but they don't have accomplishments. And I get that you're a little, you know, they're young dudes. I get it. But, like, we've seen this time and time again in a variety of entertainment business, whether it's music or acting. I mean, we don't even have to go down that line. We already know that happens in sports. Like, it's once you get the money and everybody's telling you how good you are, it goes to your head, dude. Sometimes you just can't, you know. But he said it was a wake-up call. He just got too comfortable. When he was actually training, he was training hard. And he also said that he, you know, he said this before in the past, that, you know, I would go to the gym and work on my craft, but I wasn't going all the way with it as far as my weight. So I would blow up and balloon up. And he was just, you know, saying that he had to be in the sauna for, you know, a long ass time, and it took him a while to even start sweating. And so basically he just said the blowing up in weight is the issue there. And sometimes he would just eat like crap or go drink or whatever, you know, and he just wouldn't focus on that part. It's one thing to work on your craft in the ring, and that's great. A lot, you know, you saw Anthony Joshua said the same thing, that he would gain weight, and sometimes he would come back from the camp, you know, from months off, come back to the camp, and whatever weight he was, he would just work that into shape, and sometimes that would be why he was 250 and 255, like bulky. And then we saw him working outside of the camp, keeping weight off, not just working on your skills, but he also said he had to work on his skills too, and you could see that worked out pretty good for him, right? So Spence basically, you know, he talked about Pacquiao, Crawford, the normal thing, but he's right now they're looking at September, October, obviously a temporary date. And it, as we know, and I said on the show a while back, it's going to be Mikey Garcia, or I'm sorry, that would suck. It's going to be Danny Garcia because he is the WBC welterweight mandatory. So, you know, but if you're going to be off for almost a year, I don't really look at that as a bad fight or something like that. You know what I mean? And so it is what it is. But he's going to fight Danny Garcia next. So no matter if you like it or not, you might as well just accept it. For now, anyway. Then we'll see, you know, where he goes from there. So, you know, it's interesting. A lot of these interviews now, some of them have some interesting points to them. Some of them it's just like, the same old stuff. Some of them is just these guys talking shit, you know. I don't know. I got something out of that a little bit, though, but just not a whole lot. You know what I mean? But it is what it is. What else we got here? So what I want to talk about is, I was going to do a first quarter review, kind of like a progress report. And I also actually want to talk about that RZA and Primo battle a little bit. I'll save that for the last topic. I know it's not boxing oriented, but hey, hip hop's so big. So many people listen to it. Come on, dude. RZA and DJ Premier, dude. Like, those are some of the top line guys in the business ever. And so I'll talk about that. I'll close the show with that, okay? So it's non-boxing, but it is a battle, okay? And you can find it on YouTube right now. Honestly, I turned on, like, this old this college football game that was really – or no, I'm sorry. I turned on pro football game, Vikings-Packers classic game, whatever. And I just put on a sport, and then I just listened to it. And that way I'm not really focusing on it. And I'm taking in this fight or this game and stuff like that. But I'm really just listening and kind of, I don't know, reliving it. But we'll get into that. We'll get into that. But as far as first quarter goes, I kind of broke it down. Like I said, you can go to thegirlytruth.com right now, and you can read the article in detail there if you'd like. And this is just, like I said, the first, 2.5 months, because we stopped mid that. The second week in March is the last one we got. We had that huge upset. Hellenius. I think, yeah, that's it. That's where we stopped, right? Am I right with that? Yeah. So we got the 14th in. No, we got the 7th. We didn't get the 14th in. That's right. So we got 1 week into March, okay? So, when I look at some of these fights that stand out, obviously Rosario, J-Rock, MJ, and Daniel Roman was a really good fight on the zone, like an undercard fight. Collard and, I can't remember the guy's name, Guillardo. That was just a fun little 4 or 6 round fight. It was just fun, whatever. On paper, I thought the Smith-Hart fight for ESPN was pretty good. Diaz and Farmer was another good fight. Obviously, Wilder and Fury was one-sided, but it was the major fight of the year so far. Koznoski-Helenis was another upset. There's been some good fights. Some of them have been like 50-50 fights on paper. I think Martinez and Harris might be the best fight of the year, or one of them. But just kind of breaking some of this stuff down, I'll start with the ESPN and Showtime. Obviously, Showtime is PBC. But for the progress report, I just talk about the networks. So I break it down to Showtime because it is its own separate network, whereas ESPN and ESPN Plus is pretty tied, right, obviously. So when I look at Showtime, obviously Showtime – well, before I get into this, and it even says in this article, I'm not here to talk about, like, the difference between having on free TV, on pay-per-view, on subscriber base, on basic cable. I'm not here to break down what the better platform is and why, and here's a detailed reason. I'm just saying right now, okay? So far, that's what we've got. So it actually, 2020 actually got off to a pretty good start. Some of the main events were just stay busy main events. Some of them it looked like they were like mandatory stay busy. That turned out to be pretty good damn fights in the main events and also upsets. But the other cards have given us plenty too. Like I said, I'm not going to sit there and hit my head on this platform argument over and over and over again. But I'll start with Showtime because Showtime last year was a dismal, obviously disappointing year for Showtime in 2019, clearly. Now, it was the new Fox deal year, and they got a lot of the good fights, and obviously PBC entering more pay-per-view as well. So Showtime, much like in 2015, got left aside. For the most part. But if you look at 2012, 2013, halfway almost through 2014, Showtime was popping. But then if you go to 2016, because remember 2015 was the PBC arrival. So NBC, ESPN, Fox, CBS, they all got a bunch of fights. 2015 wasn't a great year, just like 2019 for Showtime. However, Showtime from 2016 to 2018 put on Showtime / CBS, because they did have fights on CBS too from time to time, but they were the hands-down best product out there. It's not up for debate. They just were. So I'm also measuring that. That's where they set the bar. 2012, 2013, some of 2014, and like I said, the last 3 years before last year. So it was disappointing, obviously. They were the worst network out of ESPN, Showtime, Fox, and DAZN. And I know some people will be like, oh, DAZN's not a network. That's great, man. They're a platform. They pay for it. They do sports. I know what they are. I just remember people like responding when I say that or whatever. It's kind of funny. But They got off. Showtime, you know, I've never said that I don't like, I'm glad that Clarissa Shields and women's boxing has a place at Showtime. I'm glad they added even more show boxes. Those are fun, sometimes okay, sometimes eh, sometimes really good, right? I like show box a lot. I think it's still the most consistent show, I guess you could say, right? But the championship boxing fell off. And they got off to a real mediocre, crappy start, you know, in a sense, because there was only really one good fight on that triple header with Danny Garcia and Jared Hurd in separate bouts on the main and co-main. But the Fulton fight with that fight, that was a good fight. And that was a good testing fight as well for Fulton. So I liked that one. That was pretty good. There was also a pretty damn good main event on paper between Russell and King Tug. Gary Russell Jr., King Tug, and starts with an A. I know it's Velez is who he's fighting. Arboleda? Something like that. That was a fun fight. That was a good fight. That was on the undercard of Gary Russell Jr. I do remember, I think Rigo was on that one as well, wasn't he? Yeah, I think so, against the Leafs. So, you know, Espinoza did say that this is going to be a different year. And based off that card, right, and also some of the cards they had on paper were pretty interesting. So, you know, I'm willing to say, okay, you know, I'm not going to preview their fights that they had on. That'll be for a different episode when we actually come back from boxing. But it seemed like, based off what we saw on paper, saw in the ring, and what Espinoza said, because remember, Showtime was supposed to be out of business, you know, if you ask Bob Arum and Eddie Hearn and everybody that follows those guys, whatever they say. And that is not the case. So they look like they're having somewhat, I can't say a bounce back year like it's going to be 2016, 2017, 2018, but it looks like they're going to be better. But so far, so good, kind of. I wouldn't say they've been great, but we'll see. Then we'll move on to ESPN and ESPN Plus. I'll say this in general, it does look like ESPN, the regular ESPN, that you only have to have basic cable for. It does look like they're going to get more fights based off what they had on their schedule and what they already scheduled. I did like that Crossroads fights with Joe Smith Jr. and Jesse Hart on paper. Sure, you know, I thought it was closer to a 50-50 on paper, but, you know, on paper, you never know how that goes. Joe Smith Jr. actually dominated, but I thought that was pretty good. They obviously get half of the credit for having the Wilder Fury fight come together. That was the biggest event. That might be the biggest event of the year, period. You never know. But you got to give them half credit for that because they split it with PBC, right, and Fox. So I give them credit there. And like I said, when you look at what they had on paper, you know, it looks like, okay, dude, you know, there's something going on. And we also got to remember Jose Ramirez and Victor Postol was supposed to be in February. That was in China, remember? Like, well, he said like 10 of his events were going to go to different overseas. I remember Bob Arum said that. So that got postponed in February for the coronavirus. And then in May 9th, they got postponed again. But that's a good fight. Ramirez and Postol is a good fight. I like that fight. So, like I said, it does seem like it won't be last year. 2019, the majority of their best stuff was on ESPN+. And you can tell the ratings suffered from it. So yeah, it does seem like it's on the up and up. ESPN had a very okay year overall, if you include ESPN+. But if you look at just ESPN proper, it was pretty mediocre to poor, actually, if you're really looking at those fights. Now, DAZN and Fox, I think, have gotten off to the best starts. Both of them have had some impressive fights in, you know, lineup and whatnot. For DAZN, they're delivering for the hardcore fight fan. Now, I know some of these people that are anti-DAZN will be like, yeah, but the YouTube fights. And, yeah, I understand their main events. I mean, Garcia and Vargas was a very interesting fight in the ring and on paper going into it. You really wanted to see. Most of us were interested because of the weight. You know, can Mikey actually beat a solid contender at that weight? But, you know, some of their main events, like, for instance, the Miami one, right? The one in Miami where they had Demetrius Andre, you know, against Keeler. And that's a stay busy fight, whatever. And then they had the YouTube fight as the co-feature. So I understand that that is not good. That sucks. It is what it is. However, you know, if you dig a little under the surface of that card, you can't deny it. It was still a good card. I mean, you had one of the best fights in Daniel Roman in that MJ dude. And like I said, on paper, Diaz Farmer was close to a 50-50. And Diaz fought really well in the fight, but that's a good undercard. I mean, I like that. Now, I understand, you know, the whole YouTube thing, the only thing there's things I don't like about the YouTube fights. My thing is when the media, a lot of media members are just pro DAZN and that's it. They'll say, well, you don't have to watch it. You know, nobody forces you to watch it. Well, I hear you, but if it's the co-feature, then during my boxing night, I got to what? Just put it down for a half hour, hour, say screw it. And then watch the main event. You know, I wish they, when they have them, if they are the attraction of the card, just put them in the main event. Screw it. Might as well, because then us boxing fans can watch the whole card, and then whoever wants to watch the main event can. But then you don't have to sit around waiting for it in a co-feature. You know what I mean? So when you say, oh, you don't have to just switch the dial, okay, but then I'm watching a card and I got to stop to, now I got to change the dial because I don't like, you know what I mean? I just wish they'd do a main event. But, I mean, if you look at that trip, their last triple header, that was a great card, dude. It looked pretty damn good on paper and it lived up to it in the ring. That Garcia and Vargas, like I said, and the Martinez-Harris, if you look at the odds going in, both of those turned out better on fight night. And, you know, this is how boxing works. The 50-50 really on paper was Yafai and Gonzalez, and Gonzalez just overwhelmed them, but there was that resurgence of Chocolatito. So you kind of, it almost is like you kind of forgot that that's how it went down because, you know, a lot of us who have been watching boxing for a while, you know, really enjoyed a guy like that and just having such a good night. So, even Carol Quigg, another 50-50 going in, was Quigg over the hill? Well, he was, you know. But on paper, it was a close fight. And even TJ Donahue getting beat by a dude who's 12-2 or whatever. That was a huge upset. So, to me, they're having a damn good year. Their main events can pick up. Sure, okay. But they're making a lot of fights for hardcore fight fans. Now, and then if you look at what they had on paper, I mean, they were burning it up. They were burning it up on paper. It was really – they had their schedule on paper looked very, very good, very impressive. And basically since last April, they've been delivering hardcore fight fans a good-ass, great product. The only thing, like I said, is I guess you could say their main events, they didn't have the it factor in their main event where it's just like – where casuals want to see it too, like a lot of casuals, I'd say that's probably the only thing they were missing maybe, is the it factor. But other than that, I mean, and that comes, they still have a Canelo fight, and you know what I mean? I'm just saying, they had a pretty good lineup, and same with Fox, you know, just like last year when Fox rolled out, you know, their fight schedule, a lot of the fights in the ring turned out to be a lot better than people were saying on paper. And their main events have been solid. And their one main or two main events that weren't good. Basically, if you look at, you know, January, the Rosario J-Rock fight as a main event, it was a very fun fight. Yeah, it only lasted what, 5 rounds, but it was fun to watch. It was action packed, and then it gave us a pretty damn big upset, right? And you know, even though Chris Colbert didn't get like, it wasn't a tight fight with Jezreel Corrales. In the first couple of rounds, he did have to adjust. It was still a good test for him. But even when their main events have sucked, like the Ugas Stay Busy fight, they had that Collard and Guillardo fight on the other card, and that was a brawl, dude. That was super fun. You know, just a little blast of a fight. You know, nothing big. It's not going to win fight of the year, but it was a fun fight. Caleb Plant was in that Stay Busy Mando. You know, yeah, that fight wasn't good or whatever. You know, on paper that sucked, but the Perella and Ramos fight was entertaining and it had like a really crazy ending. And even the fight before it was pretty good. Magdanello, when he Magdanello actually showed up pretty good against who was it? Dulay, or it was a Nashville kid, but that was, you know, a fun fight or whatever. Then you had Koznowski and Helenius, and once again, a lot of people shit on that main event, but a lot of people shit on the Areola fight, you know? A lot of people a couple years ago shit on the Chris Martin fight, you know? But you're like, well, those are tight fights, dude. Those are spirited fights. Like, maybe Koznowski is just limited, and sure enough, he was winning. Clearly, but he got knocked the F out, and that's the biggest upset of the year, I'd say. And also, Fox gets credit for making half of the biggest fight of the year. And one thing I forgot to mention for Fox and ESPN, one of the best things about that event was the fact that it didn't have Manny Pacquiao, didn't have Floyd Mayweather, and even a guy like Canelo Alvarez. I love him. I'm glad he's still here, and I want him to be here for 5 or 10 years. But we still, it created that big of a gate, that much mainstream attention, that many pay-per-views without those three involved in America, which is a good thing, which is a good thing. So, obviously, Showtime and ESPN, you know, they still got to catch up. And it does look like right now Fox and DAZN is running it that way, you know. So, you know, we had some, March had some interesting fights. April started piling up. You know, if you look at what May and what June was going to be, even all the way to July, some of these fights they were talking about, we were in for a pretty damn good second quarter, man. And it is a bummer. Obviously, when you look at it from only a sports perspective, it does suck. It is what it is, though. You know, that's what we got to deal with. So that about wraps up boxing talk. But I don't know who enjoyed that, you know, who enjoyed it like I did, that RZA and Primo battle. And for those who don't know, I think it's Swiss Beatz, because Swiss Beatz and Timbaland had a great one. And also Manny Fresh and Scott Storch had one, or Scorch. Did I say Storch? Who else had one? Of late, I think somebody else had one, but it's basically just these producers, you know, going head up 20 for 20, your best 20 albums. And sometimes it's not even your best 20. It's just, like I said, sometimes there'd be a song with Nas. RZA would play one. So, you know, Primo would come with his, or Method Man, or Biggie. We saw that before. So it was just fun. And they went 20 for 20. But they ended up going for almost 3 hours, like two hours and 45 minutes. And it was just a blast, dude. And I think they went 28 songs apiece, dude. And so it's not, you know, you don't listen to the whole song. Usually it's like the first verse, or sometimes they'll play a chunk of the first verse and then rewind it or whatever. So you don't listen to the whole song. That was actually one of my complaints with the Manny Fresh Timbo. Or no, that was Manny. Who did Timbo battle? Oh, Swiss Beatz. Swiss Beatz had his shit on forever. And it seemed like Timbo's beats is just, forget it, we'll have it on, it's over. You know, I wanted to hear Timbo's beats longer. But anyway, you know, if you're a hip hop fan, and you know, nowadays the producers get talked about sometimes just as much as the rapper, because you have the call out of the producer at the beginning of the track. And let's face it, I mean, sometimes a lot of rappers sound the same nowadays. And I'm not just being the old man, get off my yard. It's true. But, you know, a lot of the beats sound the same too. But the production value, as far as if you listen to a variety of even stuff that was released the last 5 or 10 years, the production value is still there. It's just the rappers haven't come along. And some of that comes down to streams and, you know, radio play and what people, you know, like, and party music and all that type of stuff. But, you know, there's just not a big lane for serious rap that still can make you laugh and you can still party to, you know, like, I don't know. J. Cole is a guy that's still doing it that sells. Obviously, Kendrick. There's plenty of guys. I shouldn't say plenty, but Pusha T came out with a pretty damn good project two summers ago. Like, I don't know. But, you know, it was fun to watch these guys go back and forth. 28 freaking songs. Back to back. And another thing about this battle, I'm not going to spend much more time on it. I know if you're a boxing fan, you're like, what the hell? But I think a lot of people are just hip-hop fans, especially of the 90s, right? And Primo could dig further back than RZA. But RZA, I think people kind of shortchanged RZA, like when it first got announced, because obviously Primo's just been there, done that for so long. But they kind of thought, you know, once the battle started, I saw a lot of people, like, inching it towards RZA, because it's like, well, dude, you didn't think he could compete? Like, the dude's one of the mastermind production guys out there, period. It was funny, though. These guys are like masters at their craft, but I wanted to see how this thing would go with these older dudes. And I'm not young. I'm not in my 20s. You know what I mean? So I'm when I call someone older, I'm not. I'm just saying. Just the technology, not to record, but to do a live stream. And you could actually see some of that. Well, it was pretty funny. And finally, you know, RZA had to get figured out how the hell he was going to do this. But I had a blast. And one more thing about it, I really like how they gave some detail of the songs. You know, usually a lot of times it was after they played them. And they had both, like, it's fun to go back and forth and mess with each other. You saw some of that, right? Obviously, Swiss Beatz is going to get pumped up to Timbaland, and Timbaland was dancing a lot. The Scott Storch and Manny Fresh, that got I'm not going to say heated, but, you know, he had like the skits and stuff like that. Scott was saying, you got the skits, I got the hits. But then again, Scott had some co-producing on there too, right? So they were kind of talking trash a little bit more than others. But, I mean, the older guys right here, Primo and RZA, they were given background. And I like the mutual respect. It's fun to talk shit to. I like that. But I like the mutual respect. And a lot of times when, you know, Primo would play a beat, RZA would tell him how that affected him, or this is my shit, or I remember when you did this, or I wanted to know how you got that sonic sound. Was he doing this? Was he doing that? I couldn't figure it out. And same with DJ Premier. You know, he would say, oh, that was my song. Or when you came with that, dude, I remember that movement. I remember you said this to me before I really knew you that well. And so they gave, like, a lot of depth behind the scenes hip-hop stuff. But, you know, I'm not going to go over the track list. Like I said, there's 28 of them. But obviously, Gangstar, Jay-Z, Mos Def, Nas, Big L, M.O.P., Old Dirty Bastard, Raekwon the Chef, Ghostface Killah, and M.E.T.H., you know, GZA. Like, I mean, basically, when it comes down to it, I thought the RZA was getting overshadowed by the depth or the length of DJ Premier's career. So people, and Premier even admitted later on Sway, I saw the interview. He admitted that he left a couple out there that he's like, oh, man, I should have went with that. And I agree. And that made him – I had RZA by one. I had it 13-12 in three ties. I believe that's how I had it. Is that right? 13-12. I think that's right. I believe that's right because that's 25, 26, 27, 28. Yep, I was right. I was just notching them off like rounds. But I had three ties. I had three 10-10 rounds. But, yeah, I had it 13, 12, and 3. So, obviously, it could have went either way. I think that kind of sums that up. But you can find it out there, folks. I'm not trying to, pass along how to steal. Well, it was free anyway. But you should check it out, dude. You should check it out. It was fun. Just sit back, put something in the air, and just reminisce. I just kept thinking. I remember somebody tweeted, it's a Saturday night. I feel like I'm 14 sitting at home on a Saturday night with my feet kicked up listening to hip-hop. And, you know, when you're in middle school, in the early parts of high school, and, you know, there's a social scene. You're out, you're partying here and there, but you don't have cars yet, and there's just Saturday nights and Friday nights aren't as fun as they are once you're, 16, 17, 18, 19, into your 20s and all that. As far as, I mean, they're fun for different reasons, right? But, you know, I do remember, either by myself or with a couple buddies, you know, we had just got a new tape and then a CD, you know, and we just listened to it. And I just remember, you know, graduating from Run-DMC and Beastie Boys and the Fat Boys, you know, from elementary school and then getting into the early parts of middle school, you start to get Raekwon, or I'm sorry, Rakim, Eric B., Rakim, God dang it. I wrote that down all weird. Oh, shit. Oh, I thought I had my scorecard wrong. It was 28 of them, right? Let me check. Anyway, Rakim. You know, Big Daddy Kane, Slick Rick, Kumo D, and then before, in like Kuji Rap and all this stuff, right? And so the rap's evolving and the rappers themselves, production's evolving. And that's why I think it kind of peaked in the 90s because the production caught up to the MCs. And then all of a sudden, ninth grade, seventh grade, probably somewhere in there, seventh, eighth grade, Public Enemy, you know. Fear of a Black Planet, I think that was eighth grade. Listening to that, between classes, going in the hallway, listening to it. You know, faking like I'm doing my homework, listening to it in class, and just going and going. And it just meant so much to you back then, even more. And you just remember certain stuff. I remember certain things when I hear a Public Enemy song or whatever. And so I just thought, for the hip-hop heads that have been, either, you know, because I do see some youngsters. One of my nephews or my cousins does like a throwback hip-hop reaction channel, right? And so that he turned me on to a couple other young dudes doing it. And it's kind of cool to see these youngsters going back. And it's pretty funny to see when they listen to these five-minute songs. They're like, there's another verse? And they're blown away with three verses. They're like, oh, my God, there's three verses. I'm like, dude, there's songs that go 7 minutes. I mean, a lot of Wu-Tang songs go five. And they're just blown away by the lyrical content compared to what it is now. It's pretty funny. But anyway, like I said, 13, 12, and 3. It was fun to watch, no doubt about it. So this week in boxing Twitter, then I'm going to shut it down. I almost forgot about this. Glaze, the Rick Blazier, he was talking some smack about how Teofimo Lopez, basically Teofimo is a bigger deal, more popular, a bigger name, bigger star than Tank Davis. Now I'm not talking about who's going to win. That's not what I'm talking about. It's just funny to me, this guy, and it's funny because even a guy like Ramirez's manager, This is what he said. Because, what's Rick's? Where's his tweet? I mean, this fucking guy. I know he does some of this on purpose, but he believes some of this stuff, I think, too. I really think that. Oh, I forgot to mention, Dan Raphael got let go. He didn't get fired. They just couldn't come to an agreement on a contract. So he got let go. I'm sure he'll be picked up by, my guess is The Athletic, but I could be wrong. But I think it's going to be Athletic. But a lot of people cheering. You know, I've had plenty to say about Dan in the past, you know. But when you lose your job, I'm not going to sit there and destroy him. Not even that, but the guy's been doing it for a long time. And for the folks that just think he's out of the business now, I think he'll get a job. I think he'll get a job. But think about this. Steve Kim is the lead writer at ESPN now. Steve fucking Kim is the lead writer at ESPN right now. Oh, my God. Anyway, this is what the Glades had to say. Teofimo Lopez just became a world champion, hasn't even defended the title yet, and he's already bigger than Gervonta Davis and Ryan Garcia, and is now exploding with public, exploding to the public. I know you promote him. He's talking about Leonard. This is like a follow-up because I didn't see him post these on Facebook. I'm not following him on Facebook, but I can, you know, go in there. But right when he got back on Twitter, he blocked me pretty quick because I gave him facts, you know. But Leonard Ellerbe is like, hey, Rick, are you serious right now? This can easily be resolved with commission reports. And obviously we know what that is. And even, you know, a guy who likes to talk about Jose Ramirez, and who doesn't? I love to talk about Jose Ramirez. But even Jose Ramirez's management, he even was like, dude, come on. What are you talking about? Like, because, you know, Ramirez is a name in Fresno. I mean, if you look at when you look at the ticket sales, the number of tickets is awesome, but the gates are small, but it is what it is, you know. He's one of my favorite fighters to watch, but he says, Rick says, this is RGM promo, Rick, I'm neutral here, but Tank is a legitimate draw in star live event-wise, higher than both by far, and he means right now Ryan Garcia, which is true, not just Instagram. He's got him on the gram, obviously. He's got everybody on the gram in boxing. But to say Teofimo Lopez is a bigger star and a bigger name than Gervonta and Ryan Garcia, that's just the ESPN. Whatever Bob says, I'm going to say. And he said whether they're paid or unpaid, he had to put that in there. Because, you know, people have given him shit about the tickets, you know, that they sell for Ramirez's. But popularity-wise, Garcia, talent-wise, even with Lopez. Long-term, staying out of trouble leads the pack. Lopez becomes long-term safer bet, which I understand what that dude's saying there. You know what I mean? But Glazer, he just loves, no matter what, like top rank, no matter what. And he'll just go around and misinform all day long. And so I got to call him out every once in a while. You know what I mean? I got to call him out. And, you know, and he was all on board for that almost 2 million pay-per-view for Wilder and Fury, the rematch, because you know who, Bobby, he listened to Bobby, or he listened to his sources. His same sources, I think I've mentioned this one before, more boxing destruction from Showtime, Steven Espinoza. He's dropped an excellent Friday Night Showbox series, RIP Showbox 2001 to 2014. We know how that turned out. The pay-per-view buys that Fury and Wilder does is because it went from a rematch, it went from the rematch to an event to a mega one at that, and the event took life of its own. My projections for the pay-per-view number, including streaming buys, are 1.8 million. I'm very accurate over the last three decades. hashtag ESPN, hashtag Top Rank, hashtag Fox, hashtag Glassed. And the Glazer. He got glassed. He got glazed. Even though it's glazed without the C, I always put the C in there. But this dude was calling for $1.8 million. But he's the guy that we should listen to. Now, I'm not saying he hasn't promoted. I'm not saying he's not in the State Hall of Fame. I'm not saying he doesn't know something about promotion. I know that he was the matchmaker with Don King when Don King really didn't have anybody. I'm not saying the guy, just like Steve Kim, great writer. He's great at what he does, but he's clearly biased, ignorant. And it, I mean, the shit he says sounds racist to me. You know, any of these guys that I rip, Mannix, I'm not ripping how great or good or knowledgeable or anything like that. It's just how damn biased they are to their platform, which just gets over the top. And Rick Glazer is the most biased dude out there. And over again, I actually, I'll save it for another segment, for Twitter segment. I'm going to shut it down. But it's funny. I called him out on Facebook once with facts. He's like, oh, I didn't know that. My bad. Well, what the hell you been stealing the last? Oh, no. Yeah, but it still was a pyramid scam or something like that. But anyway, I'm going to get out of here, folks. I'm going to shut this puppy down. You guys, you know, stay safe as much as you can. We're going to get through this. Like I said, I really appreciate anybody that has been listening to this stuff. You know, obviously it's tougher to create content. But like I said, I got content coming, whether it's interviews, you know, whether it's a variety of stuff. I got content. So it's coming, and it'll be topical for right now, too. It's not just let's talk about a classic fight from 1980. You know, nothing like – I'm not saying it. I won't have a segment saying, God, I saw this fight the other day. You know what I mean? I'm not saying that. But overall – and by the way, kudos to ESPN for putting on, like, the 7 fights in one day, and it was, like, 4 fights in a row or something like that at night. Actually, I think it was more than that on ESPN, too. That was cool. Did pretty good in the ratings, not necessarily the demo, but the ratings did pretty good. So that was fun, and I actually saw a little chunk of the Spence-Porter card because there were some good fights on there for FS1. So kudos, you know, kudos to all these platforms trying their best during this time. And like I said, you know, I'm getting unemployment. I live in Minnesota. We're already getting that $600 a week. So I'm good. I'm not out here acting like I'm, you know, feel bad for me and struggle. But I do. My thoughts are with the folks that have kids. My folks are with the, you know, my thoughts are with the folks that are hurting financially. So, like I said, I really appreciate it. And I'm just trying to distract you. I'm not trying to disrespect anybody by doing shows. Some people, you know, we'll say stuff like, what are you even doing shows for? It's like, well, we need distractions. Anyway, I'm out. Peace. We'll be back next week. Peace.
Dedicate our lives to this sport.